From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. It's a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised. Dr. Cairns is the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and his long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into areas of concern for both believers and unbelievers in this day. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of this broadcast. Now here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, Does God practice deliberate deception?
Does God practice deliberate deception? Quoting Ezekiel, if the prophet's deceived, I have deceived him. Or Paul's words to the Thessalonians, I will send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. You'll notice in all those occasions that the deceiver is not God. The deception is the lie of the devil. It is something that men have willingly chosen, and God gives them up to it. Now, when the Hebrew Scriptures say, I have deceived them, it is a way simply of saying, and of course this is true of everything in the world, I have allowed this or I have caused it to be. Caused it to be in the sense that these people are being given over to what they want. God did not tell them a lie, but He certainly allowed the liar to come and talk to them. And He allowed them to believe the lie. And it's not a lie imposed on them. Deception, you see, is always something imposed on a person, taking them more or less that they don't know they're being deceived. No, no. God is not imposing anything on these people. He's giving them up to what they already have chosen and already what they desire. Same in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The strong delusion. Remember the time period in which this is speaking of. It is speaking of a time when the man of sin, the Antichrist, the supreme deceiver, Satan's great tool in the earth, is being embraced by the world, where they have deliberately rejected light and have called darkness light. They have deliberately rejected truth. They've taken the lie. They've embraced it as the truth. They've deliberately rejected Christ, but they've embraced the Antichrist. And what God is saying is, if that's what they have chosen, I will give them up to that. You see, for God to deceive, quotes, doesn't take any positive deception at all. All it takes is a withdrawal of restraint or a withdrawal of light or information. For God to give them up to that deception and that delusion is simply for God to withdraw the energy of His Spirit and the power of His gospel. And once He does that, and He doesn't owe any of those things to any of us, once He does that, men are in bad shape. That's the force of those scriptures, and anybody who takes them in any other way to blame God for what men have chosen and what God has allowed them then, as it were, having made their bed to lie in, is a misuse of Scripture entirely.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's program, our speaker is the Reverend Armand Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Today, he'll commence his fourth message in the series. It's entitled, True Preaching Makes a Difference. Now, with the message for today, here is the Reverend Armand Tomassian.
We're going to read from verse 1, just read the opening five verses this morning of the first chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's hear the word of God from verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Amen. And the Lord bless his word, our reading of it, and our meditation in it here this morning. Well, if you've been here for the past number of weeks as we have commenced our study here in this little epistle, we haven't gotten too far, but I trust we've already been encouraged by the writing of the Apostle Paul to this little congregation in the city of Thessalonica. We noted after a kind of background message when we came to verse 1, the greeting of the Apostle Paul as he encouraged them, as he often did, in seeing what they are in the Lord Jesus Christ and what they are in God the Father. The tremendous unity that they now have with the true and living God. This had not always been the case. They, as we will get to later in this chapter, verse 9 tells us that they had once worshipped idols, given themselves to idolatry, and now they're worshipping the true and living God. And they're serving Him and rejoicing in Him. But it's not just a change of practice. It's not just a change in their habits. It's not just that they now go to different places of worship and say different words in their worship. Their whole heart, their whole mind, everything about them has been transformed. And there's now this vital union with their God. Before, they would know about their God. They would ask for favor from their gods. But now they are in a relationship, a knowledge of God, where they are rejoicing in this sense of grace and peace that Paul expresses there at the end of verse 1. And in verses 2, 3, and 4 that we looked at last week, we saw there that Paul is presenting his gratitude for them, his rejoicing in the fact that he knows that they really are the people of God. This one sentence that's here really hinges on verse 4, where he says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." I know this. And of course, the question that we sought to deal with last week was, how did he know this? How was he able to make such a statement that he knew that they were elect of God? That's a very strong statement to make. But he was aware of it as much as man can be by what he tells us in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know, we all know, if we've been Christians long enough and we have read through the Word of God, we know that there's a certain sense, as Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." And there's a sense in which the infallible knowledge of who belongs to God is only with God. None of us truly know who the Lord's people are in the infallible sense. And yet even there, in that verse, he goes on immediately to say, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And so he encourages, right when he says that only the Lord knows them that are His, he encourages those that profess to know the Lord to have a certain way of living, characteristic that would exemplify that truly they are the Lord's, that everyone could see that they depart from iniquity. Doesn't take Paul too many words to convict us, does it? To draw the very, kind of put a sharp point on the real heart of the issue, that if we truly are the Lord's, and God really knows us, we will be known by this. We depart from iniquity. People are known, according to the Lord Jesus, Matthew 7:16, by their fruits. Speaking there particularly about prophets, but I think it applies generally across the board. And he also said in Matthew 5, verse 16, "Our good works can be used by the Lord to lead others to glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so how we live is an integral part of identifying whether we are the Lord's. And so Paul again has no qualms at all in saying, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I know this because your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Because these things, these Trinity of graces, are manifested in your life, I know, as much as any man can know, that you have been chosen by God, that you belong to Him. Now, what had made this change in their lives? Well, ultimately, for our encouragement, verse 4 says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved," those of you who are loved of God, beloved of God, knowing that you're beloved is really that sense that he's highlighting that. You've been loved of God, and because you're loved by God, that has flown out of that is the fact that you are known now that you're elect. God has loved you, He has chosen you, love precedes the choosing, and because that is true, therefore all of this has come to pass. Now that's the foundation. If God does not love a man, he will never come to be known by God or to know God himself. But there are practical aspects as well. It's not just that. Ultimately, God has loved them, chosen them, but God has used preaching to communicate that love, and that brings us to verse 5, where we will get no further today, and we'll not even deal with all of verse 5 today, just the first part. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Paul turns our attention to something that was integral in the bringing about of this church. And that was that there needed to be a man who would declare the word of God so that these individuals, these people that had come to know the gospel, would actually know about it and respond. It's impossible for a church ever to be established if there are not preachers to preach the word of God. It will never happen. It can never occur. And so while God may love and set his love upon men and choose them in his Son from before the foundation of the world, the evidence of that love being known in an individual's life, in a community, can never come about without the preaching. And so Paul goes on to deal with this integral part, this practical aspect of this church being coming to fruition in that city. And here he's really kind of turning his attention away from the experience or activity of the church to, for the most part, focus upon his own experience when he was there. The experience of the preachers. And in that sense, I think it contributes something to what we've already looked at, that Paul's conviction about knowing that they are elect of God was also bolstered by what he experienced when he went there. And when he went there, well, this is what happened. Our gospel, that is the gospel we brought to you, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And he's really kind of reflecting his own testimony. Your testimony is this, verse 3, the transformation of your lives. That is evidence that you're elect of God. But coming alongside that, contributing to this knowledge, is my experience, our experience as preachers of the word, that God was there when we went to your city. And God gave us help to bring the word to you. This morning, as we look at the opening part of verse 5, the first part of it, I want us to consider true preaching makes a difference. True preaching makes a difference. And I'm certain they made a difference in this city. There's four points here this morning that I want us to consider as the Lord gives us help. First, the practice of preaching. In verse 5, he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power," and so on. It came not unto you in word only. The first thing I think that we need to see here is the fact that the gospel came unto them. Now, he's making a point that it didn't come only by means of word. But in the midst of saying that, he is saying that it came to them. The gospel came to them. In other words, it was communicated to them. And that's what I want to highlight before we go any further in understanding this text. Preaching, in a very real sense, is the most essential work of the church of Jesus Christ. It is not the only work, and there is a deficiency if it is the only work in what we are about. But it certainly is, I think we can say, the most essential work in the extension of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I think the language of our Lord makes that plain. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, well-known verses. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So our teaching flows out of the Lord's commandments to us. His preaching to us causes us to then preach out to the world. So preaching, teaching, communicating knowledge and understanding is an essential part of this whole work. We are told also by the Lord Jesus at the end of Luke 24, verse 47, again coming in with this whole idea of going into the world, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. So, the Lord made it plain that in the in generalizing the work of the church, and that's what he's doing, he's not saying that this is the only thing they're going to do. When we come into the book of Acts and we read through the epistles, there's a lot more going on. But when it's summarized by the Lord's command to his apostles, it's summed up in this activity: teaching and preaching the word to the nations. Now, when Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, and I could take time to go there and read a number of the verses, but I want to just focus in on a few of them. He quotes the prophet in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now that's a tremendous truth. If anyone calls on the name of the Lord, if they desire to be forgiven their sins, if they want to know peace and pardon, whosoever, no barriers, no limitations of entry, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's glorious. And Paul again is quoting there the prophet Joel. He is reminding the people of this tremendous truth. If anyone calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. That there is an open arm of the Lord to sinners, calling them to himself. The question is, how does that come about? How do men know that there is a God who so willingly and freely invites them to be forgiven? Well, they just know it within the depth of their own being. Are they born with some innate understanding that God calls them to himself? They have an understanding of who he is, but they do not have an understanding of how they can come to know him. And so, logically, in verse 14, he says this: given the case that if anyone calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved, he then asks this: how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's not possible. It's not possible for men to call upon the name of the Lord without preachers that bring an understanding that leads to faith. And this is why later on in verse 17 he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's an absolutely essential part. Romans chapter 10 exposes very clearly any so-called advances in the kingdom of Christ that does not stem from preaching. And this goes on. This is going on today. It's being propagated in evangelical churches, some of them. People go on and talk about converts through dreams. Individuals that have never heard the gospel, never come across the scriptures, never known anything about the Lord Jesus Christ at all, apparently having a dream and coming to a saving knowledge of God. That they understand Christ and they know God and they've been saved. It's not possible. Not in the sense that God's not able to do it, but God has not so planned it to be that way.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.